With its abundant natural beauty, charming towns, and friendly people, South Carolina offers the kind of discoveries that stay with you long after you've left. Like the realization you're good at something you never before tried. Or your first oyster roast, and a taste you didn't expect to love. And other times, it just hits. Like the view on a windswept Appalachian mountaintop. So come find the undiscovered you in South Carolina. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
There was a time before the like button. And I know that sounds ridiculous. And there's a lot of people, maybe even some listening, who don't even realize that that's a thing. Who grew up in a time where liking posts was just a ubiquitous thing. It's something that you did, you didn't do. But for those others, those former cavemen and cavewomen like myself who existed before, even long before, the actual internet. It's wild. It's almost like thinking there was a time before electricity or before running water or indoor plumbing. But trust me, friends, there actually was. There was this time before every opinion, your photos, a joke, a political belief, a vacation, a meal, even your littlest thoughts could instantly be voted on by hundreds of thousands of people. And then something happened. Something changed. It wasn't just technology. It was human behavior. It was psychology. Human identity itself shifted because the moment that that like button was created, we turned social interaction into a recordable, into a scoreboard. And human beings have been trying to figure out and adapt to this new environment ever since. Sort of like living in a fishbowl, living in a zoo, everybody kind of watching us, giving us a thumbs up, a thumbs down, just letting us exist in solitary. And, you know, before that, if you thought about where we got our approval before that, certainly it existed, but it was just a lot slower. There was more subtlety, and certainly it was a very localized thing. You knew whether your family was happy with you or they liked you, your friends, if they liked you, your coworkers, if they respected you. But we weren't getting any kind of real-time numerical feedback on our existence as a human being every couple of seconds, for goodness sakes. You didn't post a thought and then stare at your phone wondering, are people going to like this? Do they approve of what I just put out into the world? Because that's really what happened. We pretend the like button was about content, but it wasn't. It's about people. And we started voting on each other. And once you create this visible voting system for human beings, all kinds of primordial, ancient machinery, psychological, physiological stuff just kicks on. It comes to life. Your status, belonging, your fears, conforming, validation, tribalism, envy, attention, rejection. It's amazing. And these are things that have been hardwired and baked into us human beings for tens of thousands of years. But now we scaled it. Scale it to a global perspective where people literally on the other side of planet Earth, probably even when they're in outer space, can go and click like or not. You know, go back to middle school. There were cool kids, weird kids, goth kids, emo kids, jocks, popular kids, theater kids, insiders, outsiders. People just trying to fit in. They're all just trying to fit in. Now, imagine that system, but connected to billions of people and powered by algorithms that I guess none of us really understand, or it's pretty clear what they do. And that's what, obviously, social media is. And I'm not being critical about it. It's just, I find it to be interesting how what the impact of that has been on me and on us, and where maybe it's going to be taking us, because I know that a lot of people feel and know that something's off, but we can't necessarily articulate it. So, posting something on social media, it can feel emotionally exhausting. And then the disagreement that we sometimes find feels immensely personal. And then the silence online can feel like total rejection. So, why do people become performative? Why does outrage spread so fast? And why do we dogpile? Why do we dunk on people and then just pile on? Because we are tribal creatures. I mean, the history of humanity is kind of an in-group, out-group sort of a thing. So social media has just turned that into some strange form of public theater. So here's the thing. My nervous system and your nervous system, we don't really understand or can comprehend the difference between digital social rejection and real world rejection. Because for most of human history, exclusion from the tribe meant death. You were on your own. You weren't going to be able to get food. You weren't going to be protected from other tribes or wild animals or whatever. So when somebody gets ignored or attacked or mocked or ratioed or unfollowed or shamed online, our body responds much in the same way that something dangerous is happening. So that's why people spiral. That's why we obsess. That's why we self-censor. That's why we become more performative. And that's also why we conform, because deep inside that ancient machinery, it's telling us, you better be careful. Tribe is watching. We're keeping score. And once that approval became a measurable thing, well, then we began optimizing for it. We weren't optimizing for truth. We weren't optimizing for depth. We weren't optimizing for meaning or wisdom or virtue, just approval, attention. Who's getting the likes? Who's getting the engagement? Who's getting the applause? How do I become included in this? How do I avoid getting attacked? So slowly, probably unconsciously, we started reshaping ourselves around that feedback mechanism. And that's not a good thing. It could even be a dangerous thing, because you can eventually stop asking yourself, who am I? And just start asking, what version of me gets rewarded? That's a different question entirely. So, I mean, social media is not all bad. Social media is not good, nor is it bad. It's just social media. Because, in a way, it's connected people. It's created businesses, certainly. It's spread ideas. It's built communities. It's brought things from the darkness into the light. It's exposed corruption.
Mississippi is breaking new ground for business at a historic pace. Amazon, XAI, Toyota, Milwaukee Tool, and GE Aerospace have all tapped into our deep talent pool, prime geographic location, and welcoming communities. This is bigger than mega sites. Mississippi offers a thriving business ecosystem with affordability, greater collaboration with energy partners, and record-breaking speed to market. Looking to expand? Break new ground at mississippi.org.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at
So it's allowed voices to emerge that otherwise would not have ever emerged. Probably brought wonderful creativity and extremely talented people forward and elevated them in a way that they never would have been necessarily. So we owe a tremendous amount to the internet and social media. So I think a lot of us do. And two things can be true at once. Something can create opportunity while also creating some distorted reality. And I think that we're finally beginning to grapple with that cost because we're all exhausted by it. I think we're exhausted by the performative nature of it. We know that comparison, for the most part, is a negative thing. We don't like arguing. We don't like to be at each other's throats. We don't like virtue signaling. We don't like any of that crap. I think we're sick of personal branding and trying to manage perception and this curation of identity that we're doing. This flexing and pretending, and I can't imagine anybody really likes checking notifications. Because as I'm fond of talking about, we have finite attention, got finite energy, I've got very finite time. And those things I just listed off are pretty expensive. So I think it's interesting a lot of people are just opting out of it. Maybe not entirely, but certainly partially. And we're moving back towards smaller circles and private chats and long form conversations and just trying to find, I'm reticent to say real, reticent to say authentic, but finding community, finding just genuine interpersonal relationships with the other humans, finding things to do and hobbies and intentionally curating friendship. So maybe it's less broadcasting and more belonging. And I think that that tells us something that, you know, we're hungry to be seen. We're hungry to be known. We're not interested in being evaluated. And those are really different things because a like is certainly not love or caring, and attention is not friendship. Just being visible, that's not a form of intimacy, and engagement is in no form or fashion really belonging. We have confused those things. I mean, it's a brain-breaking thing when we have this new thing and all of a sudden we're playing with it. It's like from that movie, The Gods Must Be Crazy, when the pilot was flying over Africa and he just chucked a glass Coke bottle out the window of the plane. And this new technology broke the tribe's brain. At the end of the movie, one of the tribe's elders climbed to the top of the mountain and threw the bottle over the side of it because they rejected it. And perhaps that's where we're at right now, is we're on the ascent up the mountain to throw social media over the side of the cliff kind of a thing. I think that, you know, we are right now less so. We're scared to say we'll really think about stuff unless we know that there's people who also really think the same, but just to be honest. So we're shaping our opinions around what we perceive the response is going to be. And we're making caricatures of ourselves. And when we do that, we're just outsourcing our self-worth. And that's stupid. I think that kind of the strangest, the weirdest part of all of this is that we all know it's happening while it's happening. We know that we're being manipulated by it. We know that being in this constant state of outrage is not a healthy thing. We know that comparison is the thief of joy. We know that algorithms are rewarding of extreme takes. And we know it's all BS, but we're still participating. And that should show us just how powerful this thing is. So what's to be done? Well, like anything, I don't think the answer is to throw the baby out with the bathwater and just to reject the whole thing. I am not advocating that we all pick up from where Henry David Thoreau left off and move out into the woods and write the second version of Walden. I think the answer is more just being aware of it, aware that this stuff is having a pretty profound impact on us, that finding validation from the online mob can be a very seductive and addictive thing, and awareness that our tribes have tremendous power over how we conduct ourselves and how we behave, and that everything meaningful, put absolutely the opposite way, that nothing meaningful can be measured publicly, and that our worth is certainly not something that we can crowdsource, because if you let the crowd determine your value, that will eventually control your behavior, and there's nothing freeing or good or constructive about that. So perhaps the goal is not to disappear from modern life. Perhaps it's to endeavor to remain a regular human being inside of it, to use their tools without becoming ruled by them, to just connect without being performative, to express ourselves without seeking approval, to try to fit in and belong someplace real, and remembering something that is very, very simple and very, very, very true, that just because something gets a lot of likes doesn't mean that it's good. It doesn't mean that it's a true thing. And just because something meaningful gets ignored doesn't mean that it's that it lacks value. Sometimes the most important things in life happen without anybody knowing about them at all. No fanfare, no like count, not even an audience. And perhaps, brothers and sisters, that's exactly why they matter. And of course, that's true. So, fascinating. It's always a healthy, positive, constructive thing to push ourselves back from the table, to put our knife and our fork and our spoon down, to put the glass down, say, you know what? I'm sure I'm consuming a lot of this. Is it making me healthier? Is it making me happier? Am I better off because of it? Or is it just breaking my brain? At the end of the day, what we're all trying to do is do our part by doing our best.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.